Bible. Book of James. Book of James, chapter number 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But among all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thank you, and be seated. Our Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come, Lord, to ask the blessings of the Lord upon the Scriptures. We know the blessing of the Lord is always upon the Scriptures. But we pray for the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the Scriptures today. Lord, as we come, we thank you, Lord, that one day you saved us. And Lord, you saved us so good that we couldn't mess it up. And Lord, you saved a part within us that is unable to sin. And that's why we're saved eternally this morning. And Father, you've made provisions for those parts that can sin, that affects our fellowship and our worship and other things. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you would meet with us today at the cross. And we pray, Lord, that you would search out all the different needs today. Only the Lord knows. And thankful that some have already felt their need to bring their need to Jesus, and they've already been to the altar and prayed. And I know the Lord will help them. Now, Lord, help others today in this service. We pray for those that, Lord, today are lost without the Lord. And time is running out. The sand is fast going through the hourglass. And one of these days it'll be time no more for them. And I pray today they might realize the urgency of this hour. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I don't think it's by accident that the Lord put verse 14, is there any sick among you, after verse 11. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit was leading James, the writer, he was leading him to write about Job. Now, Job was a sick man. And if you know the book of Job, you know that he was a sick man. He was heartsick over his family. He lost them all. I mean, how devastating it is to lose one family member, and Job lost them all in one day. No doubt he was heartsick. He was headsick over what happened to his finances. He lost them all. He lost all of his finances. He was a very wealthy man. And God had blessed him in a lot of ways, but the Lord took it all away just in a matter of time. And he was sick over his finances. You may know what that's like, to be sick over your finances. And he was sick altogether because of the house of clay that he lived in, that it was sick from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And I don't think that it was an accident that the Holy Spirit, I don't think He does anything by accident. But I don't think it was an accident that the Holy Spirit put right in under after moving James to write about Job. I don't think that it was, I think that was moving in a direction. And he asked that question that I've read many times and I've often talked to myself. And I've read that verse where James said, "Is there any sick among you?" And to myself, I've said, "Is there? Is there?" And as we listen to the prayer list today, of a long, lengthy address of folks that are sick today, and all sickness is because of sin. Now, you say, you're saying I'm sin, that's why I'm sick. No, I'm just saying all sickness is because of sin. Because before Adam and Eve fell and sinned, there was no such thing as death or sin in this world. Everybody that I've ever known of or read about, knew anything about, the great company of sinners, I've never read of any of them that one time or another didn't get sick. You say, why? Because they're sinners and sickness is because of sin, and we are sinners. The Bible said, Romans 5:12, "Wherefore by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, wherefore death hath passed on all men, because it all men have sinned." I only know of one man that I ever read about didn't get sick. And his name was Jesus. He got around highly contagious people. He got around leopards and people with highly contagious diseases. But instead of him catching what they had, they caught what he had, and they were made whole. You say, Jesus never was sick? Never. He did not die of sickness. He did not die. He did not die of sickness, and he did not die of his wounds on the cross, really. The Bible said that he dismissed his own spirit. He said, "Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." Only Jesus could do that. Now, God has no beginning. But Jesus, as a man, had a beginning. God hath prepared for him a womb. God never died, never could die, never will die, but Jesus, as a man, he died for our sins upon the cross. Amen? But he's the only person that never, ever did sin. And so James asks this question, "Is there any sick among you?" And of course, before that, he said, "Is there any among you afflicted? Is there any merry? Let them sing psalms. If any's afflicted, let them pray." But he said, "Is there any sick among you?" Well, I'm going to answer James's question this morning. He said, "Is there any sick among you?" Yes, there is. There is, first of all, the physically sick saints among us. The Bible said over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we could go to a numerous number of places for our proof of this, but I'll go here. And Paul said in verse 20, "Trophimus have I left at Melita sick." You see, sickness is not something that's new to our generation or new to the last decade or the last century. Sickness has always been around. The saints have always had sick ones among them. Always. And even though that Jesus went about healing all that was oppressed of the devil, the Bible said he went around healing all that was oppressed of the devil because he was anointed and full of the Holy Ghost. And because Paul and all of the apostles, they all had what we call apostolistic sign gifts. And I don't know why the Lord didn't leave them. I wish he would have. I mean, wouldn't it be a blessing to go empty out the nursing home today? Wouldn't it be a blessing to go empty out the hospital today and the cancer wards and all of that today? But the Lord, He didn't them apostolic sign gifts. They wasn't forever. They was for the apostles. They had these sign gifts. Now God can heal. And all healing's from God. Even the sign gift was from God. All healing comes from God. But I want you to know that even with those apostles and the sign gifts that they had, there wasn't enough of them to go around. You say, why? There's more sick people than there was apostles with sign gifts. So what I'm saying is there's always been sick people among us. Amen. And the saints do get sick. And even the Apostle Paul got sick. Even the Apostle Paul had an eye problem. And even Paul, that had healed others, couldn't heal himself. And even the Apostle Peter, that just his shadow falling on sick people would heal him, he couldn't heal them all. There wasn't enough of them to go around. Amen. That's what I'm trying to establish here, is that the saints have always been sick. There's always been sick saints among us. And it was true of the early church. Amen. And it's true of the latter church in which that we are now a part of. And so there is physically sick saints among us. Amen. Some are sicker than others. Some are sicker than others, but there are sick saints among all of us. And if you don't believe they're sick Baptists, just ask one. Amen. Make sure it's not time for service to start. But sick people, sick saints among us. There's some things that they need. First of all, they need pity. Amen. It's hard to pity somebody sick if you ain't never been sick. Amen. The Bible said in verse 11, we read it, the Lord is very pitiful. I'm glad the Lord pities sick people. And He proved that in His ministries. He went around and He was drawn to sick people. They were drawn to Him, amen. And I tell you, if you ain't never been drawn to the good Lord, I just get sick. And if you're going to be drawn to Him, you will be drawn to Him. And you'll find yourself praying, amen. One preacher told me, he said, I don't believe in doctors and I don't believe in hospitals and I don't believe in surgeries. I said, you just ain't got hurting enough. And when you get hurting enough, you'll start looking for these things, amen. Listen, those that are sick, they need pity from us that are well right now. Amen. We don't need to forget about them. We don't need to just mark them off because we ain't seeing them no more around the church. But they need pity, and we ought to pity them, amen. I tell you, you ought to pity them this morning that's not able to come to the church and used to come to the church, love to come to the church, would like to be at the church right now, but they are physically not able. You and me that have the saints among us, we need to show pity toward those that are sick, amen. Yes, sir. Those that are sick among us, they need prayer. Amen. The Bible said, if there's any sick among you, let them call on the elders of the church and let them pray. Let them pray over them. He said, we ought to pray one for another, he said there in the 16th verse. He said, pray one for another. Well, when you pray, I trust you pray daily. I trust you pray two or three times a day. I trust you pray, and there ought to be a spot there in your prayer when you get through praying for yourself and your family and your needs. There ought to be a spot somewhere along that live somewhere in that prayer time. There ought to be a spot where you pray for those that are sick. Amen. You say, why should we pray for them? Well, because the Bible said so. And prayer helps sick people. Amen. I've heard over 43 years, I've had too many to even count, tell me I can feel the prayers of God's people that are praying for me. Sick people, they need prayer. We should pray one for another. You should know the sick people of your church and you should be praying for them. And God will give them grace and strength and God will help them. I'm talking about the sick saints among us. They need pity. They need prayer. They need a physician. Amen. They need a doctor. God don't always heal through miraculous ways. Really, that's pretty rare. But the way God has chose to heal in this day and time which you and I live, God has given doctors, gifted doctors, with gifts to know how to treat our body and how to heal us. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, Jesus said, your Savior said, the one that died on the cross said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said, if you're sick, you need a doctor. Amen. I heard Dr. Lakin say one time that he got a call about 2 o'clock in the morning, one of his parishioners, and it was a mother screaming on the other end. She said, Dr. Lakin said, you need to get down here to the hospital right now. And he said, what's wrong? She said, my daughter's having a baby. He said, she don't need a preacher, she needs a physician. Amen. I tell you, listen, if you're sick, you need a doctor. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Listen, if you're sick, you need pills. Amen. You say, why? Because Paul prescribed things. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23, Paul was writing to young Timothy, his understudy, and Timothy had a bellyache. And Paul wrote to him, and in verse 23, he said, don't drink the water anymore. You say, why? Because the water was no good in those parts and still ain't much good in them parts. And he said, don't drink the water anymore, but he said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and you're often infirmities. Some people have a lot of pain, amen. He said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and you're often infirmities. You say, why did he say that? Because they didn't have Tums. They didn't have Maalox. They didn't have Pepsi, amen. They were using it for medical reasons, amen. That was the medicine that God had prescribed for him. And if you're sick, you need the church to have pity on you. You need the church's prayers. You need a physician. You might need some pills. Amen. You need some patience. That's one of the ways you can pray for the sick, is pray that God would give them patience. That's what he said in verse 11. He said, we count them happy that endured. You know the patience of Job. Job went 42 chapters waiting on God to do something. Some sickness is overnight and you're better, and that's the kind we hope for. But some sickness takes a while. And you need patience to endure it and to get over it. Job had patience. Somebody said, yeah, he had patience and he was also poor. Yes, he was poor. They said it was poor as Job's turkey. You say, how poor was Job's turkey? He had to lean up against the chicken house to gobble, amen. That's how poor he was. But Job had to have patience. He had to wait on God. And the saints that are among us that are sick, they got to have patience. And David is a living example of patience. I mean, 11, 12 weeks, He was on that ventilator and that life support. But oh, how patient he was. I think God gave him grace and God gave him patience. You know why God gave him grace and God gave him patience? Because the saints were praying, amen. And I believe if the saints hadn't have been praying, he might not have pulled through that. But the saints were praying, amen. We need prayer, amen. We need patience. We may need penance. You say, well, you mean sometimes sin. Sometimes sickness is because of sin. I don't mean you say, well, you said all of it was because of sin. Well, it is all because of sin, because of the fall. But I'm talking about sometimes your personal sickness is because of sin. Back through the years, I seen two men in this church. And they fell out and they were bitter against each other. And they come at the same time, but they were bitter at each other. And one of them, he had a lot of stomach problems and bleeding ulcers and all that. And there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with him except that bitterness, that anger, that jealousy, that envy. I'll tell you, that stuff will make you sick, amen. That's why you need to keep all the sin like that out of your life. Confess your fault, bring it to the altar. And sometimes when you get rid of the sin, you'll get rid of the sickness, amen. In the same day, the saints, they need penance. The saints need preaching when they're sick. You see what they need preaching for? Verse 15, he said, and if they have committed sin. You know what preaching does? Preaching helps you realize the sin that otherwise you wouldn't know. And so sometimes the saints that are among us, they need pity, they need prayer, they need physicians, they need patience, they need penance, they need pills, and they need preaching. I'm glad that we got this live stream, because we got some dear folks that, man, if there's any way they'd be here today. And they'd be back tonight. And they'd be back Wednesday night. But they can't because they're sick. But they're listening over the live stream. And they're still able to get some preaching over the live stream. And I'm trying to answer James's question, is there any sick among you? Oh, yes. There is plenty physically sick saints among us. And we need to pray for them. And they need all that I just mentioned. Look in Revelation 3 and look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because that thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, here was a sick church. Can I tell you that we not only have the physically sick saints among us, but we have spiritually sick churches among us. And can I tell you that a spiritually sick church makes God sick? That's what he said. That's what he said. Amen. You see, we're told in this church here, this sick church, this Laodicean church. Isn't it odd what God said? He said, you're not cold. And you're not hot. Well, normally, if someone's cold, they're dead. If you've ever been around people that have deceased, it's amazing how quick the body drops its temperature and becomes cold. And there is such a thing as a dead church. Well, that's right here in the Bible. He said in chapter 3, talking about the church at Sardis, he said, thou hast a name that thou livest, but you're dead. You see, the Lord said, I don't want you to be cold. Because you'd be dead then. And the Lord said, they wasn't cold, it wasn't hot. Well, normally, when you're real hot, you're sick. Amen? I mean, Brother David come in Wednesday night after service, come to the platform, said, Brother Rick, said, pray for Eli. Said, he just come home. He's got a temperature of about 103, went to bed. Well, obviously, he's sick. He got something going on. There's a problem there. Amen? Most time, if you're real hot, you're sick. But the way God reads the thermometer, God said if you're cold, you're dead. And God said if you're lukewarm, you're not cold or hot, you're sick. Amen? Can I tell you, there's a lot of sick churches among us. They're not cold. They're not hot. They're lukewarm. They're middle of the road. Amen. And the problem is that they're sick. They're sick. Look at their condition. Neither cold or hot. Amen. Look at the cluelessness of them. He said in verse 17, knowest now not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? They didn't have a clue. Can I tell you how many dead churches there are among us this morning, and they don't have a clue? They don't even realize how dead they are. They don't even realize they're making God throw up every Sunday morning, and they're making God sick, and they're a sick church. Amen. I want you to know this morning, listen, there's more sick churches in our kind of a day than there is well churches. Amen. They're sick. They're lukewarm. They don't care about nothing. They don't take a side on nothing. Abortion, they're middle road. The Bible, middle road. Use anyone you want. Amen. Dress, middle road. Wear anything you want to wear. They take the middle road and they look at a church like this and they think we're fanatics. They think we are Bible thumpers, that we have lost our mind. You say, why? Because that we don't take the middle road. We're against abortion. We're against same-sex marriage. We're against homosexuals. We're against lesbians. We're against queers. Amen. You say, that's going to offend somebody. Let them be offended. Amen. I'm talking about the right road, the right position. Amen. You see, that cold church, they're dead. You've probably heard about the church that had a man die in their service. And someone called 911 and they come running in and took 20 people out before they got the right one. Dead! The sign out in front of this church does not say Morris Family Funeral Home, Hatcher and Sadler. The sign out in front of this church says Bethel Independent Baptist Church. Amen. This is not a funeral home. We don't come here to mourn. We don't come here with long faces looking like a mule. We come here to worship God. And we come here to a place that's got some life in it because of the life of God. Amen. The cluelessness of it. You can always tell a sick church. They don't have no appetite. And they can't eat much. They can't take an hour sermon. That's too much food. They own a McDonald's drive-thru, Happy Meal. And if they don't get through the drive-thru window in 15 minutes, they're not happy. And they want to come in, and they want to sit down, they want the preacher to make them feel good, and they want to hear somebody sing good, and they want it all to happen in about 15 minutes. Sick, 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 dead, dead, dead church. The reason some people like it's because they're dead too. Tell you something about a dead church. No strength. I mean, you walk up to a casket, tell a dead man, lift that up. No strength. And you can tell a church that is sick because they don't have no strength. They don't have the power of God to do what a church is supposed to do. Amen. But there is a cure. Even this Laodicean church, there was a cure for it, and it was three C's. The Lord said, first of all, you need some counsel. He said, I counsel thee. Need some counsel. Somebody asked me over the years, Brother Rick, you do counseling? Yes. They said, when do you counsel? 11 o'clock Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And if you'll be there at 6:30, if you'll be there and you'll get all that counsel, you probably won't need no more. If you'll get it and do what you're supposed to do, you probably won't need no more. And the best counsel there is the Lord. And then it says, you need counsel and you need some chastening sometimes. Isn't it true that the best medicine, the curing medicine, the kind that helps you medicine, always tastes the worst? Amen. I know Jim King remembers, Chester, some of these others. They had it when I was growing up, they had a medicine called Black Draw. Good medicine. It would cure, but it tastes awful. Amen? Tastes it awful. And most of the time, the very curing messes you need, you don't want, because it tastes bad. You see, these sermons from the Word of God and this counsel from the Lord Jesus, most people don't want it. You say, why? Don't make them feel good. Well, every time I've been sick in my life, I felt worse before I felt better. Ain't you? That's the way it's got to be with the church sometimes. It hurts, but it helps. He said, counsel, verse 19, chastening, verse 20, Christ. Christ is the cure for all spiritual sickness. In the church, Christ is the cure, amen. Is there any sick among you? Yes, there is physically sick saints among us. Yes, there is spiritually sick churches among us. But thirdly, look in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ornament. Now I know that Isaiah is talking about a nation. But that's a perfect picture that there is terminally sick sinners among us. They are sick from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. There's no soundness in them. No soundness in them. The lost sinner is the sickest of all. Physically sick saint, he's going to either be healed here or he's going to die and he's going to be healed up there. He's not going to be sick forever. The spiritually sick church, they can get healed down here. If they don't get healed down here, they're just going to be chastened. And if they're saved, they're going to heaven when this life's over. If they're saved. But the sinner is the sickest of all. You say, why? because the lost sinner is the sickest of all, because if he dies in that condition, there is no hope for him. Amen. And he loses more than all. He loses his soul. You say, well, that's just Isaiah. That's just Isaiah, what he thought about it. You want a second opinion? Go to Romans 3. A friend of mine went to the doctor. The doctor come out and give him bad prognosis. He said, Doc, I don't like that. He said, I want a second opinion. He said, you're ugly too. Do you want a second opinion? Romans 3 and verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of an asp is under their lips. They got a sore throat, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They are contagious. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in the way of peace they know not. There is no fear of God among them. That's what Paul said about the sinner that is terminally sick. Somebody said, well, so-and-so, he's lost, but he's got a good heart. No, he don't. You say, well, so-and-so, they're my neighbor, they're lost. But they're kind, they're nice, they're a good person. No, they're not. The Bible said, and I believe the Bible, hey, don't fuss with me. Don't wait for me at the door. Don't text me this evening. I know what I'm talking about and you don't. What I'm saying this morning is the sinner is sick, the Bible said, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. There's no soundness in him. Lost. That's why people don't get saved today. People tell them it ain't that bad. Amen. Second opinion. You see, if you're lost today, you're a terminally sick sinner today. And you're going to die the second death. You say, what is the second death? Revelations 20 and 14. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. First death is you physically die. And that's over with. But the second death, just like I'm going to be living for eternity, I'm going to be saved for eternity, and you are if you're saved. But if you die lost, you're going to be lost and dying for eternity. Good thing about death here is it don't last forever. Finally see people draw that last breath, see that head nod, see them eyes roll back, and it's over. But this second death, it ain't never over. It ain't never over. Now let me say this morning. Not only a second opinion, Paul gives us one. The second death, John tells us about it. But there's one solitary solution. Your home remedies won't work. I'm a home remedies person. I've tried everything. I mean, if I'm in pain, I'll drink anything, smoke anything, eat anything. I want some relief, amen. But I'm talking about, and some of that stuff works. And some of it causes you to spend your money and it ain't worth bringing home. There are so many cures on Facebook for diabetes. I mean, I first got Facebook, I didn't know nothing about it. First thing I've seen, cure for diabetes. I'm ordering that. It didn't work. About a month later, do this and your diabetes will be gone the next day. It's in the mailbox in a week. I've tried it all. I want to save y'all's money. They don't, none of it work. The other day I seen one on there, and it said, it had a cook and a bunch of stuff. You couldn't even hardly tell what it was. It said, get this recipe. Of course, they never give it to you. You got to listen to a video for 2 hours or read a whole book, and you get down to the end, and all it tells you is where to order it and how much it costs. Amen. I was looking at one the other day, and I tell you, I just fed up with it. Instant cure for diabetes. I come this close to going in my bedroom and getting my 380 pistol and putting it up to my head and taking a selfie and putting on Facebook, instant cure for diabetes, amen. You say, what do you need? You need them pills, what you need. You need a shot's what you need. You need to put a knife to your throat to help more than anything, amen. But I'm talking about there may be other solutions for other things, but this thing right here, there is only one solitary solution. And it's Jesus. Isaiah 45:22, I love it. Look ye unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and besides me, watch it, there is none other. No other cure for that terminally sick sinner that is among us. There is no more cures. Just Jesus. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Amen. I love that, don't you? Amen. Amen. John 5:6 is really the only issue. Jesus walked in among a bunch of sick. Is there any sick among you? And far as he could see, every way he looked, sick folks at the pool of Bethesda in John 5. And he said, they all had different kinds of sickness, just like people, you know, people's. We'd count the people here and there'd be that many different kinds of problems, sickness among us. But the key thing is right here. And I'm done with this. Key thing right here is Jesus asked that sick person, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? If you will, you can be. If you want, you can't be. And if you died with that terminally sick thing of sin, you will die the second death. You will go to hell. There will not be no more chances. There will be no more solutions. Only one thing will work, and that's to get saved. Amen. Time's running out for this world and for you. And it'll probably run out with you before it does the world. Jesus may come today, and I hope he does, but probably the chances of you going to meet him are greater than him coming today. So you need to say, Lord, I will be made whole. And I will ask the Lord, forgive me my sins and fix this terminally sick illness that I have today. And heal me. And as the song leader does what he's got planned for this morning, we stand at our feet. There's some sick person on your mind today, some sick saint that's among us. All the altars on Sundays ought to have people praying for those folks that's sick at home, nursing homes, hospitals. Because the Bible said pray one for another. And there ought to be some folks praying every time we meet for folks that are sick. I don't think this church is spiritually sick, but I do think it could be better than what it is. And we ought to be praying that we can be the church that Jesus Christ wants us to be for this time in which we've been put here. And if you know somebody today that's lost, think about their future. Think about what's going to happen to them. You ought to come pray for some lost person, or maybe better still, if you feel led of the Lord, to just put your hand on their shoulder and say, would you like to be made whole today? I'll go down with you. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord,